the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those maidens rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "Perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other maidens came along saying, "Lord, open to us." And he replied, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Make our hearts ever ready to receive you each day and then at the end of the age. Amen. There are typical phrases that we hear over and over that have the power of being part of liturgy. They are familiar and they pop into our minds even when we're driving our cars or taking care of grandchildren. These are phrases that are important. And one of the ones goes like this. It's at the end of many prayers. From generation to generation, amen. Or for all generations, amen. It is the phrase from generation to generation that reminds us of the march of the Christian faith through history, but also through our own families. Proverbs 22 echoes this with the well-known admonishment, "Raise up a child or train a child. In this way, he will not depart from the way he should go." These are somewhat idealistic. We all know in reality the church has trouble, especially now, holding on to the next generation. Generation to generation. It's essentially not happening. The exception now is when there is this generational passing on of an act of faith. My family is no different from many. Niece number one is a priest in California. Niece number two adores liturgy, grew up carrying the cross, and loves the Episcopal Church. But niece number three cannot in good conscience say that she follows Jesus. She likes him all right, but following him as her Savior and Lord, well, not so much. This is a reality of life. This is something that often troubles the previous generation or the family. And yet, a couple weeks ago, this niece number three, who's talking about virtues of being an agnostic, maybe not quite an atheist, she'll tell me, but an agnostic, the virtue is that all your options stay open. And you can imagine what I say to her. Of course, I have to do a little bit of preaching. And out of the clear blue, she said, "But I do want you to know, there's something about Jesus' resurrection that I think I still believe." And well, you could have knocked me over. She can't be a good agnostic. So I tried to calm myself, and we had a good talk. So here we come to a situation where from generation to the next generation is key. It is Joshua. Moses, dead on the other side of the Jordan River, was allowed to see the promised land, but it was Joshua who took the next generation into the promised land. And this story has incredible roots because it calls into our hearts the breath of so many generations, the calling of Abraham, the calling of Moses, the Exodus that defined God's people, and the wilderness, 40 years, that's a whole generation. Boom. Most of them are dead by the time we get to Joshua at the edge of the promised land. We don't have many who can recall those 40 years. Some say it's a good thing because most of the 40 years were spent in rebellion. They weren't happy times. My favorite is when the people rioted because they didn't have enough garlic. Okay, this was a troubled time. However, Joshua then gathers the people and says, at this point in time for the next generation, it's time to renew the covenant. Honestly, if a covenant is not renewed, it dies. Covenants are living things. They must be renewed. They, like trees, have to be cared for. And Joshua has a huge responsibility. In this covenant ceremony that we've read, there are four paragraphs. There's actually much more in chapter 24 that is worth reading. But for these four chapters, what we hear is that Joshua is saying, now, on this present day, what did I do with the reading? Oh, here it is. Joshua, when he first gathers the tribes, he gives a brief synopsis of what and who, what this God has done, who this God is. This is not a free-for-all ceremony. There is content, and that content is important. And that content goes back millennia to Abraham, to Moses, and to all the offspring. And so Joshua is warning them that this story can only stay alive if it is recalled, if it is remembered. In our Eucharistic story, we take members and we remember them. That doesn't mean church membership rolls. It has to do with body parts. You have members of your body, as Paul tells us, but they have to be remembered. The body of Christ has to remember connect. The word religion says the third, the same thing. Religion means to re-ligament. If you're losing your ligaments, you can't do much once they're gone. You can't move forward. Religion is that act of re-ligamenting our souls, our lives to God. And so that's the first thing that Joshua talks about. And then he goes on to talk about Exodus. Ultimately, he will speak about the land that they are coming into. This is God's voice now. It switches from Joshua to the Lord. And the Lord says, in this land, finally, in this land, you will have olive trees, but you never planted them. Curious. You will have grapes and vineyards, but you never planted them either. You will have cities, but you really didn't build them, if we're going to be honest. This is takeover of a land that was promised. The people have been living in this land, gradually taking power over those who lived there, lived prior. And Joshua says, if you don't want to join up today and renew the covenant, that's fine. Because, and this is amazing, because you do have a choice. There are lots of options. Brothers and sisters, there are lots of options out there. You have to make a choice. Think it over. Think it over really well. Not something that the person next to you is saying, and, oh yeah, okay, me too, me too. This is not a me too question. This is an I question. If you don't want to join up, says Joshua in chapter 14, that's fine. You have a choice. But don't fake it. Make a real choice. And in verse 15, that famous verse that is on many homes, on walls, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And finally, it gets to the people. And they are almost cheering and involved in this spectacular. We have to imagine that there are thousands of people and a lot of noise. The people yell, we will not forsake the Lord for other gods. Like you, they are implying, we will serve the Lord because he is our God. From generation to generation, Joshua is asking them in the race to pick up the baton and keep on going. Joshua then is amazing. He stops this frenzy of, yes, I'll do it, I want to do it. And he tells a terrible truth, a truth that is hard for us. Joshua challenges the people. And in verse 19 he said, okay, let's get real, let's be honest. Can't do this. Now, in modern culture, you're not supposed to discourage people. You're supposed to tell your children, you can do whatever you want to do, even though we know it's probably not really completely true. But we want to rev up, we want to get their focus going and their attitude secure. But Joshua, what are you doing here? You honestly, seriously, you are not able to serve the Lord your God. Interesting tip. And a little bit concerning. And this is because your God is holy, but you don't give evidence of knowing that. The false gods in the wilderness. Remember, a golden calf. That was not a once-off thing. That continued for a whole generation. The temptation to go for a God who's more accessible and definitely able to be controlled. You're not able to serve the Lord. And if you return to false gods, God will bring disaster upon you. Disaster. So, back to Joshua's main point. Think seriously. He's thrown a wrench into this. He says, well, the bad news is you probably aren't able to do this. You probably aren't. Imagine if we put this in marriage vows. I promise. And then the priest said, but you know what? Don't break those promises. They will be tested and tried and sometimes broken. But we don't do that because marriages are happy. In this case with Joshua, this should be a happy occasion. It should be just like Moses. We now are fully in the promised land, even though we buried him beyond the Jordan. Yay! It should be cheerleading, but it's not. The people again protest in verse 19. No way, they say. We really will serve the Lord. But in reality, from generation to generation, this will not always occur. The vision will be lost. Eventually, the kingdom will be crushed. The holy temple will be burned to the ground. It is really helpful to put this covenant event in the larger context. Joshua says, fine. All right, we'll go ahead with this. But when the trial comes, you will be a witness in the witness box to yourself in the dock. You will be a witness to yourself, meaning truth. You will face the truth. Okay, let's just put this in another context as well. Let's remember the 12 disciples. They say yes to Jesus. And then they say, well, we're not so sure. And then they stop saying anything and hiding because they fear for their lives. Of course, we say Peter was like that. But in truth, we know they were all like that. No one was saying, we know the resurrection, let's go out and preach it. No, that didn't happen. So we have a model of the difficulty in moving from generation to generation. Our covenant promises are never black and white. In fact, this covenant is a living thing. There is never a full, once and for all, yes. There is also I'm losing it. I don't know if I can really stay in this relationship with God. Sometimes there's an outright no, thank you. Oftentimes it's more like I'm confused. I don't hear or feel the presence of God in my life. These promises need to grow, but they also need to be pruned. They also need to be fed and watered. We need to have moments in our lives when we refocus, like Paul says, on the end game, our eyes on the prize, and we pull that prize into the present. We need to refocus our energy for the time in the wilderness. There will be wilderness times, and we'll find food in odd places growing in the ground. It was called manna. We need to trust in God's grace. When faith is weak and prayers seem no longer to matter, we trust in a God who is still there. Even when signs point to the opposite, and even when the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, feels like it's fading. One of the personal joys I've had in 30 plus years of priesthood has to do with the hundreds of stories, every one unique and special. Stories of faith. Stories that were, for me, often burdens that I carried. But they were also blessings. They were blessings. Because on some beautiful days, the prodigal son and the prodigal daughter returned. To be there at that moment lifts the joy of the Lord in my heart. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Another brief example, in the 1980s, there was a Fulbright American scholar with me in Rwanda. He and his wife, they were wonderful. They were my dearest friends. And she was a devout Christian, and he was a devout agnostic. I can't tell you the years, okay, hours, days, nights that we discussed. And it was the most challenging of it. I finally said, Lord, you know, I can't keep up with this guy, and I don't know what to do. And then I thought, good, because what God wants me to do is pray. It was up to the Holy Spirit, and I knew it, but I couldn't let go. 20 years later, I was distributing the Eucharist at a very large church in Baltimore, and this still very handsome young man, no longer young, gray in his beard, walked up to the altar rail. I couldn't connect at first, and then I couldn't read. He put his hands out. The body of Christ. And he looked me in the eye. He said, Amen. What a day. And what a lunch afterwards when he truly shared the rest of his journey. A covenant renewal is serious, but we can't forget that there's also covenant grace. This morning at 10:30, St. Paul's has a baptismal service, and it is the first in a very long time. It is also truly unique, and I have to really struggle to see if I've done a baptism like this, because it is a mother and her daughter. Mother, daughter. A new experience. From generation to generation, this will happen right here. Up front. The generation and the generation. Both baptized in water. For Joshua, the renewal ceremony was key. In our baptism, how many of you remember your baptism? I'm kind of unique. I was 9. I remember every bit of it. It was excruciating, by the way. These baptisms link us together. And And if this were a non-COVID moment, the baptism would be right here before you. And you would be asked to make a covenant renewal statement, to revive your own covenant, because you have a job to the next generation. And so I'd like to close with an invitation to you to own St. Paul's great joy today. I am opening to, I know you don't have prayer books, I am opening to the baptismal ceremony. And I'm going to the place where everyone in the body of Christ, where you at St. Paul's, where you will support these candidates in their new birth. This is the part I'm going to repeat. It is beautiful. It is powerful. After I finish each promise, please respond, I will, with God's help. Will you continue in the apostles' preaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and preserve the dignity of every human being? Will you? Alleluia. Amen. Please keep Madison and Celine in your prayers.